Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thanks to the glories of the lectionary, I have preached on this passage from Luke before, and some of you may remember my story about the honest judge from Florida. I'm not seeing any looks of recognition, so I'll tell it again, and at least it will be for the benefit of Sue Pratt, who lives in Florida part of the year. But many years ago, back when I lived in Boston, I went up to the city of Salem with a friend to visit historical sites and just to enjoy wandering around and have a good lunch. As we were heading back into the city, I realized I did not have my wallet. And I knew I was going to have to call lots of credit card companies, I'd have to get a new driver's license, and this was going to be a real pain in the duff. But my friend brought me home, and I prepared to start canceling cards, and I found my answering machine light was flashing. And it was the Salem Police Department, which called to tell me someone had turned in my wallet, and I could come pick it up at my convenience. So my friend came back to Beacon Hill, and he drove me up to Salem. And I went to the police department and identified myself, and they asked me a couple of questions, and they were satisfied that I was who I said I was, and they gave me my wallet. Everything was still in my wallet. My cash, my cards, my license. And the Good Samaritan who had turned in my wallet left a note, which was his business card, which indicated that he was a judge in Florida. I think it was a circuit court. And he wrote in pen, "I just wanted you to know there was one honest judge in Florida." So, not knowing whether I told that story before, and I'm glad you all enjoyed it, as you know, I like newspapers, and I like to read physical newspapers. And I went to the market early last week to pick up a copy of the Wall Street Journal, and I looked at the other headlines. And the New York Post is great for headlines, and they had this one: "What will it cost to buy a judge?" Well, the answer was $200 to $300 million, as the Yankees are going to try to sign him to a contract extension. And then there was speculation about whether the New York Mets would try to steal Judge away, whether he'd want to go to the Queens from Bronx, whether Steve Cohen wanted to get in some kind of hissy fight with Hank Steinbrenner. But so we have this theme of corruptible judges, which stretches back to the time of Scripture to today. What are parables for? They're not meant to be children's moments. They are not Aesopian fables that teach us how to live good moral lives. They are about God and God's people. And that's very clear from the story, because hearing it, people might have wondered, what is this saying about God? Is God a corrupt judge who doesn't want to hear from us? No. This story is replete with stock characters. And we've got the image of the corruptible judge who's cranky and doesn't care about anyone else. And then we have the stock character of the widow, who is seen as the ultimate outsider in the time of Israel. She had no rights, she couldn't inherit her husband's estate, and she was on the mercy of her family and friends and neighbors. So when people heard Jesus telling this story, he knew that these stock characters represented something. If you were wondering what kind of case this woman was bringing before the court, don't. It does not matter. As we look at the judge, we need to remember that judges in ancient Israel and the ancient world were not like judges today. They didn't spend lots of time in law school, earning the respect of their peers, being appointed to a position of authority because they were seen as able to properly interpret the law. The judges were elders, people who had some sway in the community. They often heard cases en banc, so you'd have three of them perhaps together. And you've all heard of the Sanhedrin, the High Court of Israel, which had dozens of people sitting on it. And in the time of the Romans, these courts were run by Herod. So Herod could put all sorts of questionable characters into these positions of judgment. But they had the authority to say, you're vindicated, you're okay, or you're not. And that was the end of the story. When hearing parables, we may want to identify with the characters and try to figure out who is who. And maybe you were wondering, is God the judge? No, God is not the judge. I'll give you the answer to who the judge is. It's you and me. We are the ones who don't want to hear the importunings of the widow. We are the ones who turn our back on her. And who is the widow? Jesus. We do not pay attention to God. We have to say this over and over and over again, but God wants to be in a relationship with us. And that is the core message of Scripture. God loves us, and God wants to be with us. And we find things to distract us, whether it's our greed, whether it's the internet, whether it's our foibles, whether it's our excuses, whether it's our own delusions. We often project our worst feelings and emotions onto God. Oh, I don't like that person. God doesn't like that person. Oh, I don't have time to help those folks. God doesn't have time to help those folks. I think this is the right thing to do. God thinks this is the right thing to do. This theme plays itself out through Scripture and our lives. And one of the reasons we look to Scripture is because we know it is true. It understands us, and it portrays us in all of our glory and in all of our weaknesses. So, I suspect everybody here is looking for justice. They want it to be delivered through the courts. They would like our society to organize itself in a way that is fair to everyone. And we're wondering, when are we going to get it? Every week we have communal prayers here. And I'm going to pick on Pete here. Not pick on him, but I'm going to lift him up because Pete has asked us to pray for him during worship. And Pete is convinced that prayer has helped him. Thank you, Pete. I didn't do anything there. It's God. But we pray for Ukraine. And we've done that week in and week out over the last few months. And they're still dealing with a bunch of vicious, rapacious Russians. When are they going to leave? Is anybody listening to our prayers? The answer is yes. Now, I wish I could tell you that what you pray for is going to be heard by God and acted on immediately. That your illness will be taken away. That your questions about your job will be answered. That you will be reconciled to the person with whom you've had a falling out. I can't tell you there's going to be immediate satisfaction. And oftentimes the things we pray for are not the things we need to get. So I did not win the $440 million from the Mega Millions drawing last week. And now that I've got a bum ticket, I reflect that it's not a bad thing that I didn't win. I wouldn't have to think about the money and relationships and all sorts of things that will fall out from having that kind of cash dropped to my lap. Would it be nice? Sure. Would it be good? That's another thing. So what we need and what we want are not always one and the same. We may well confuse them, but God does not. And we live in a world where things are not always right. And I think John F. Kennedy wasn't the first person to say this, but he memorably said, "Life is not fair." He's right. Life's not fair. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes me anything. And yet we often live our lives thinking that God owes us something. And God has already given us the gift of life. Think about that. So what can we do in response? Well, if we don't like what's going on in Ukraine, we can support policies that will help to bring the war to an end. If we don't like the fact that there's hunger in our community, we can support organizations that are working to fight that. If we don't feel that our community is spiritual enough, talk to me. Tell me what you want to see. If you want there to be more fellowship, take advantage of things like the walk in the woods that Ron's leading today. Most of our problems have solutions. And yes, some of them seem to be insuperable. I cannot snap my fingers and make the pandemic go away. It's still here. And as time goes on, and we develop strategies to combat the virus, we will decide what we're willing to live with. But that doesn't mean that we can't take care of one another. So, I don't know what this judge from Central Casting looked like. In my image, and again, this is going to be me stereotyping, is that he seems to be sort of an overweight southern gentleman speaking in a drawl, sitting on a bench, and dispensing justice to people he likes and injustice to those he does not. But I don't know about you folks. Have you ever been on a jury? I was many years ago. And the judge who sat on the bench was an older, crusty fellow called down from a higher court to hear the medical malpractice suit that I had to hear. And he ran that courthouse with a firm hand and fairly. And I found myself thinking over and over again, if I had to go to court, I'd want my case to be heard by him. And he wasn't going to put up with any shenanigans from any of the attorneys. He was very clear about his expectations from the jury. And I thank God I had that experience. I will confess, I was not thanking God back in the time. But it was a good experience to have. So, God is not the cranky, corrupt judge. God's not going to hear our prayers because God wants to make us go away. God wants us to stay with him, just as God wants to be with us. And we may be thinking that this vision of God's justice doesn't necessarily comport with our understanding of how God acts. But remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Jesus came to earth and died on a cross for you and for me. And it was in God's weakness that God showed his love for us, which is a completely different way of looking at power and service than the one we may buy into. Jesus gave us parables to challenge us, but not to mess with our heads. And the story is an old one, it's a familiar one, but it's worth our thinking about. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of justice and fairness, for helping us to build a better world and to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.